You will find our scripture reading this morning in the book of Genesis, chapter 24. And we'll begin reading at the first verse. Genesis chapter 24. You can see it's a long chapter, but we'll only be reading part of it that concerns us this morning. Genesis 24, beginning at the first verse. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house, that ruled over all that he had, Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell, but thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, Peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, Beware that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying, Unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. Only bring not my son thither again. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham his master, and swear to him concerning that matter. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed. For all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water, at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, Let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, Drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well, and filled her pitcher, and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, Drink, my lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also, until they have done drinking. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough, and ran again unto the well to drink water, and drew for all his camels. And we'll end our reading at that verse. And our Father, we pray that thou wilt bless the public reading of thy holy word to us now. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you turn again to that reading we had earlier, Genesis chapter 24. And with the word of God open at that place, let's unite our hearts together in prayer. Our Father, we thank thee for thy word. We have asked thee to bless the reading of it publicly. And now, Lord, we ask thee to bless the preaching of it. I pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to preach the word. Lord, we can recall whenever the gospel came to Thessalonica, and Paul wrote to the Thessalonians and said to them that our gospel came not unto you in word only. Lord, it's so important to have it in word. But Lord, there's more that's needed. He said it came in power and in the Holy Spirit and with much assurance. Grant the power of the Holy Spirit here for the preaching of the word of God now. And from each one of us, may there be the response to it that will be well pleasing in thy sight. And may the word be instructive, challenging, and encouraging to us all. In the name of the Lord Jesus we ask. Amen. In this particular chapter, Genesis chapter 24, there is related to us a most interesting story. It's the story of a bride being sought for Isaac, who many of us know to be one of those great patriarchs away back in the earliest of times. Abraham was desirous that a son would have the right woman to be his wife, and that should be a concern of all parents of children whose children are coming to marriageable age, that their children would have the right wife or the right husband, whatever the case would be. In this story, there is a great typical lesson, and that lesson has to do with a picture here of a bride being sought for Christ, and the bride being the church. Abraham is a picture of God the Father here. Isaac is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. This servant mentioned in the passage is a picture of the Holy Spirit, and Rebecca is the picture of the church. And I think it's quite possible to draw that out. It certainly is a good picture of what the Holy Spirit does in the world in calling people out, bringing about the new birth experience, leading them to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and those people become part of the Church of Christ, and God the Father has commissioned all of that. But it is not the typical lesson that we are looking at in this particular passage just now, but rather there's the practical lesson, and that practical lesson comes in verses 12 to 14, and it's dealing with the matter of prayer that is something practical for every one of us. I think I'm right in saying that every believer here realizes something of the validity and the necessity of prayer. We're all agreed in that. And I think we're all agreed too that this, while it's one of the greatest privileges that we can have, yet it's one that we fall down on the more often. We believe it, we pay lip service to the value of prayer, but we don't always engage in it the way we might, the way we should. So we want to keep that in mind. But in this particular instance, primarily, what we're looking at here is the value of prayer, the worth of prayer, the benefit of prayer, as we seek to carry on our individual living from day to day. And this is what was happening in the case of Abraham's servant here, because he had a task to be engaged in, and he needed the help of God. And so he appealed to the Lord in prayer. And we want to look at those verses, particularly verses 12 to 14 in Genesis chapter 24, and see this brought out. And we will have reason to look around those verses before it and after it. But this is the passage mainly, verses 12 to 14, and certainly with regard to 15. So let's look at the prayer of Abram's servant. And I want you to notice three things about it. First of all, there was the prompting of it. Why did he pray? Why was there the need to pray this particular prayer? Well, I think there were three reasons for that. First of all, there was the desire of Abraham. Whenever we read it earlier, we saw that Abraham was old and well stricken in age. He was very old. That's what the phrase "well stricken in age" means. He was very old. And his son, Isaac, was round about 40 years of age, and he had no wife. And Abraham did not want to die and not see his son being well settled with a wife. So we have this particular matter that also prompted the prayer of this man, the desire of Abraham. Abraham didn't want his son to take a wife from where he was living among the people of Canaan. But rather, Abraham wanted one from his own family for him in the land that Abraham had left to come to Canaan. So there was the desire of Abraham. And then secondly, there was the duty of the servant. Because the servant was tasked with a very important task. Notice, if you will, in verse 3, "I will make thee swear by the Lord God, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell." He says, I don't want a wife from here. I want a wife from my family circle, away back in the land from whence I came. What a task that was for this servant. And this servant realized the nature of it, the duty of it. He had to go to this land far away from where he was living and look for a wife for his master's son. My, what a task that was. So it's not only the desire of Abraham and the duty of the servant, but there was the difficulty of the mission. How was he going to find this woman? How was he even going to get into the particular area? Out of all the women, young women that he might meet, how was he going to light on the right one? So you can see, my dear friend, this is a tremendous responsibility, and it prompted this prayer. Now let me say this to us. I've already said that you and I need to be men and women of prayer, especially if we're Christians. We ought to be spending time with God each day. Not just coming out to church and whenever we bow together in prayer, follow the preacher, or come to a prayer meeting and take part in prayer there. Those things are good. But God wants us to maintain the daily watch with him day by day. He wants us to pray to him, and he wants us to read his word so he can talk to us. And there must be that regularity. But we're not talking about that regularity as such. We're talking about special times, whenever there are occasions that we've got to meet at the throne of grace. You may have a burden, a particular problem, and it may be vexing you. You need to come to the Lord specifically. You may have some desire. Maybe God has given you a promise and you're holding on to that even for years, and it has not been fulfilled in your experience yet. You've got to keep coming to him. There are these occasions that we need to get before the Lord. And if we look at the matter in a corporate sense as a congregation here, we have the great need of a minister, the successor of the Reverend David Crane, to be thinking about. We need a minister for here, and this ought to be an occasion that will prompt us to come to the Lord in prayer. So think of this man, this servant. And by the way, may I give him a name? He's not mentioned in this particular passage, but I think that it's the man called Eliezer. If you look back to Genesis chapter 15, just turn back for a moment there and notice verse 1, 2, and 3. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus, the steward of Abram's house? What an important position. What an important position. And it means if he had no heir, Eliezer, being a good man, would have come into all the blessing of that. And Abraham had a vast estate, and it was going to fall on Isaac now, and Abraham wanted Isaac to have a wife so that they would have children, and the seed that God had promised to make of Abraham a great nation would be in the early stages of its fulfillment. So if I call this servant Eliezer, I'm not being dogmatic about that, but it's understood that that's who it is. You'll understand then what I mean. So this is what drove Eliezer to make this special prayer, the desire of Abraham, the duty that Eliezer had himself, and the difficulty of this mission. Now, that's the first thing, the prompting of the prayer. Let's come to the heart of the matter. And notice, secondly, the particulars of the prayer. Now look at verse 10 of Genesis chapter 24. The servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor, and he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. He has made the long, difficult journey. He's got these 10 camels and lots of other aspects of treasure, and he has come to the well at eventide, and he's tired and weary, and he has to find out a woman that would be a wife for his master's servant Isaac. There he is. He's standing there. What can he do but lift up his heart to Almighty God and ask God to bless him and help him and guide him? Now notice what we read here about the particulars of this prayer. There are two things mainly that I want you to notice. First of all, it was a considerate prayer. Notice the wording in verse 12. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. What a prayer. That's why I said it's considerate. He's not even thinking of his own difficulty here. He's not saying, Lord, I'm in a fix. I've got a big task to perform. I have been on a big mission, a large assignment. Lord, help me here. How am I going to find out the right woman? No, that wasn't uppermost in his mind. Neither was he thinking of Isaac, and he said, now, Isaac's a young man. He's 40 years of age. He must be lonely. I'm sure he would love a wife. Lord, pick the right wife here for Isaac and show me. No, he wasn't even thinking of that. His first concern was for the pleasure of his master. Notice what he said at the end of verse 12. I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. And here's the lesson. Whenever you and I have burdens and desires and longings, and they weigh heavily on us, let us remember first and foremost that it's God's glory in all of this. Whenever the Lord was teaching us, a man came to the Lord and said, Lord, teach us to pray as the Lord taught his disciples to pray. The Lord Jesus began to answer that request, and he said, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And those matters had to be addressed. The glory of God had to be addressed before the particular needs of the petitioner. And Abraham's servant standing there with this difficulty of the mission to find the bride for Isaac. And he says, Lord, would you show kindness to my master Abraham? And you remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said when he gave a great encouragement to pray. He said, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will do it that the Father may be glorified in the Son. He says, I'm willing to answer your prayers, but the Lord must have the glory in it all. You think about that. It was a considerate prayer. And whenever we come with our deepest of needs and heaviest of burdens and intensest of desire, let's remember the glory of the Lord in this. So it was a considerate prayer. But let me say this, it was a calculated prayer. By that I mean it was well thought out. Notice what he said in this prayer in verse 13. He says, behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. Now that was a tall order, you might say, in a manner of speaking. He said, Lord, whoever gives me a drink, whenever I ask for it, and remember, this man's a stranger, and he's a man. These are women coming out. But more than that, he said, not only gives me a drink, but she offers. I'm not going to be asking for my camels to be watered, but she will offer herself. Lord, let this be the girl that will be the bride for my master's son. Now, that's what he prayed. And it's very important to notice that that was a calculated prayer. He wanted the right girl, suitable for Isaac, a worker, somebody who would be hospitable, kind, and be friendly and helpful to strangers, and to be courteous. And this is what this girl was going to be, as we'll see in a moment. But how might she be identified? That she gives me the drink when I ask her, but more than that, Lord, whenever she offers to drink, to give drink to these camels. You see how calculated it was. Well, let me tell you this, that the Lord Jesus encourages that kind of prayer. Different times in the Word of God, we are taught to pray for big things. You remember when Jeremiah was in prison, the Lord said to him, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. In Psalm 81, verse 10, the Lord says, open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. The psalmist, in one of the psalms, says in Psalm 86 and verse 17, show me a token for good, a sign. And this is what Eliezer is asking for here. And do you remember whenever Gideon was commissioned to defeat the Midianites? He said, Lord, he said, take him this fleece. Let the dew fall on it this night, but let all around be dry. And God accommodated his weak faith at that stage. He had faith, but could have been stronger. And that next morning, Gideon went out, and he lifted the fleece up, brought it together, and wrung it out. And the dew that had fallen upon it was moist, and he wrung out a basin of water. And the ground was dry all around. But he went further. He said, Lord, would you do it again, only this time reverse it? Would you let the fleece be dry in the morning, and let the ground be wet? And sure enough, that night, God did it for him. And then in the next chapter in his life, and it's in the book of Judges, chapter 7, God said to Gideon, he says, Gideon, you've got 300 men here. You sent about 31,700 home because they didn't suit my purpose. I've got the 300 I want. Now he said, go down to the tent of the Midianites that are encamped against Israel. And he said, if you're afraid, take Phuah, thy servant, bring him with you. And he said, listen to what you hear. And the two men got down to the outskirts of the camp, and they saw the guards talking one to another. And one of them said, I had an awful dream last night. He said, what was it? He says, I dreamt that a barley cake came rolling into the tent and overthrew my tent. And the other boy says, why, that's nothing else than the sword of Gideon. God has delivered us into his hand. And whenever Gideon heard that, he went back to the camp and he says, right, men, God has given us the deliverance. God gave the tokens for good. Remember whenever Elijah withstood the false prophets and priests and Ahab and Mount Carmel, and the fire came down and consumed the sacrifice, and the people cried out, the Lord, he is God, the Lord, he is God. Elijah said, get yourself ready. There's a sound of abundance of rain. And he and his servant went further up the mount, and he cast himself down and he prayed, but nothing happened. He sent the servant to look away out over the Mediterranean. He says, tell me what you see. He said, there's not a thing in the sky, not even a cloud. And he said, go again 7 times. And it wasn't until the 7th time that he came back. And he said, what did you see? He said, I saw a cloud the size of a man's hand. And Elijah says, right up, go down and tell Ahab to get his chariot ready and get back to Jezreel. That was a sign. You remember whenever the baby Jesus was about to be born on earth with regard to his humanity, the angels appeared that night to the shepherds and said, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, lying among the cattle. That would be the sign. God in all of these instances gave the sign. So Eliezer is saying here, Lord, this would be the sign that I would like to show me which of these young girls is going to be the wife for my master's son. So we've seen the prompting of the prayer, the great task that he had to discharge. We have seen the particulars of the prayer. It was considerate and it was calculated. But I want you to notice lastly, not only the prompting of the prayer, not only the particulars of the prayer, but notice the power of the prayer. Notice verse 15. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out. He was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher on her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin. Neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. Now the servant noticed her. And he ran, the Bible says in verse 17, to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my Lord. So that was the first part of the point that Eliezer put to the woman. Lord, she's given me to drink. And she's kind about it. She's hurrying up. She ran. She hasted. And then as soon as he had finished drinking, notice verse 19, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. Now he never had to ask about that. But he did say, Lord, let her not only give me a drink, but let her feed or give drink to my camels. Verse 20, and she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again unto the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. What a task that was for that young woman to do, to feed those thirsty camels. 10 of them. Oh, Eliezer knew that God was with him. This is the woman. This is her. Now, the power of his prayer was seen in the response that it gave. And let me say very quickly that there were 3 aspects to the response. First of all, it was a response that was suited. It was just what he wanted. He wanted a bride for his master's son Isaac. And he put the matters to the Lord that the Lord would answer, that would help him. And now this is what's happening. And my dear friend, God answers our prayers in a suitable way. Sometimes he doesn't give us just what we want, but by and by he gives us better. That happens in different times. But not only was this response suited, it was specific. Answered in the detail, as Eliezer put it, to God in prayer. The very detail. Lord, let her give me a drink. And Lord, let her offer to give my camels drink. And that's exactly how God precisely and specifically he answered. But notice something else. It was a swift response. Oh, how swift. Whenever he said that to her, the Bible tells us that she made haste. And she went and got him what he wanted. And then she ran to do the same with the camel. Here's a young woman, energetic, hospitable, good-looking, single girl, oh, just right for my master's son. But she's given to hospitality and kindness. She's not a layabout. She's not hanging around some of the pleasure places. She has come to the watering hole in order to do a needy task. Oh, this would be the right girl. Oh, Lord, if she offers the camels now to be watered. And that's what happened. It all happened so swiftly. And sometimes, my dear friend, it's true, and I think we all know this, God takes years before he answered our prayers. It's a matter I'd been praying about for many years, way back in the 70s. I kept praying, but it seemed that it was never going to happen until about 10 years ago and more. After praying for about 27 years, God wonderfully and remarkably stepped in. There was another matter I've been praying about from the 90s, praying regularly, no answer, until about 3 years ago. It began to come piece by piece, and the answer has almost been completed. Marvelous way thus far. I want to tell you, there are times that God keeps you waiting, but there are other times he answers speedily. And this is what happened here, because when he was still praying about this matter, this girl came on the scene. And do you remember what God said in Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 24? Before they call, I will answer. And when they are yet speaking, I will hear. Who knows, but the answer to your specific prayer may already be on the way. You may have waited for it for a long time, but God makes sure of his time. He's never too soon and he's never too late. He does it what's best for us and what's for his glory. So if you've got a need in your heart and you're perhaps in a quandary, you're at a crossroads, Lord, what do I do here? Think of the prayer of Abraham's servant. And God can answer you quickly as well as keep you waiting for a long, long time. So then, prayer is something that's important in the life of every Christian. Prayer is something that God has decreed there would be power in it. And prayer is something that God wants us to engage in by communing with him. And why not start this day to pray with great consistency and keep at it until God gives us the answer that will gladden our hearts and be a blessing to others, as the prayer of Abraham's servant was answered by Almighty God, that gladdened his heart and was a blessing to Isaac, to Abraham, and to Rebekah. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, we do thank thee for this prayer of this servant of the man of God. We thank thee that this man knew how to pray. Lord, we thank thee that his prayer was answered. Lord, we pray that thou would answer our prayers that we know are in thy will, even though in many instances you take your time to answer. And yet, Lord, there are other times you'll answer speedily. We thank you for this. Our times are in thy hand. Thou art in complete control. And we pray that thou would answer for thy glory and for our good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.